Well, good morning again, Christ the King Church. My name's Kyle Hearn, and I'm the youth director here at Christ the King Church. And it's just, isn't it awesome just to be together, just worshiping together? There's like nothing better. And this morning, we are in for such a blessing because this is Pastor Frank Garcia, and he's with our sister church, Puerto Nuevo. And man, he's a preacher. And of all the different roles, all the different degrees Pastor Frank has, he wants to use all of it for spreading the gospel and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we're in our series, Beyond, and we're just hearing the word of the Lord of how Jesus leads us beyond bad news, how the gospel is leading us beyond the bad news that we get hit from time and time and time again. And especially this year, right? It feels like it just does not stop. And so we just want to reintroduce Pastor Frank. Most of you know him, but if you don't, we're in for a blessing, and if you would pray for Frank with me, you can extend a hand where you're at, and let's just pray. Father, we pray for Pastor Frank, thanking you for his heart, thanking you for what you've done in his life, and the good news that you've brought into horrible, bad news situations, and his love for you, and the words that you've given him for us this morning. I pray that all of us hear clearly what you want us to know and do, and draw us closer to your heart of love and of good news through your son, Jesus Christ, this morning, through Pastor Frank's message. We pray a blessing on this time, on this message, and on Frank. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and God's people say, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Man, that worship was awesome. Really awesome. So thank you. Thank you for the invitation, Pastor Craig, for inviting me. It's always great to be back. And I'm not too far. But, you know, during these times, it's been a little bit hard in ministry. We've had a lot of work and a lot of things that we're doing in the community. So it takes me almost a turtle's move and walk from just a little bit down the road to South Tryon to here sometimes. But I'm always thinking about you guys. I'm always have you in our prayers. We intercede for always Pastor Craig, the great leadership team and the church, whole Steel Creek and Southwest area here of Charlotte in general. And we're always praying for you. So wanted to take the time. Pastor Craig calls me and says, man, we're doing this great series called Beyond. And the childish in me, really just when it says Beyond, I really took me to Toy Story. To infinity and beyond. I said, man, why could I develop something behind that? and then he gave me the second part. It says, bad news. I said, man, Pastor Craig, we could do a whole Netflix series behind that one. So that was a bottom line, you know, beyond bad news. And I said, wow. So it wasn't hard. And, of course, pray and you ask God to put in your heart a word for his people. You are his people. You are his chosen nation. And here I am this morning. So I wanted to take real quick, like I said, so I'm the pastor of Puerto Nuevo, means Newport in English. It's just right down the road. It's a Spanish ministry. We serve the Spanish community, and it goes pretty deep in South, but really around this area. So, like I said, during this, typically around this pandemic, is really, I would believe, I don't talk too much about or know a little bit, but outside of this, really has taken the church to go beyond these walls. It's really how to hit the community and be on the ground working. Again, this pandemic has hit different areas of people's lives. You know, no work or too little, or health has been an extremely top issue. So we've tried it as much as we could do to go out there and alleviate some of it. And that's what God actually tells us to do, and we're gonna go a little bit deeper on that. But I just want to show you some of this collaboration and networking. Of course, Sarah opens the pantry. Oh, they opened the pantry. Great volunteers there, week after week after week, come out there between 5 and 6 p.m. and they're outpouring people's love. People are praying in the parking lot. That opened an opportunity for us to the Puerto Nuevo to go out and go to Publix. They opened another day for us to reach bread and pastries. And I could feel I have a Ford 150 and we fill the truck, the back part, and some of the seats in the inside. That's how much they're willing to give. And we did it for about 30 weeks nonstop, every Thursday and Friday, 30 weeks, besides the food pantry on Wednesday, taking out to domicile, people's door, church members, people that we knew were having a tough time, that probably were affected with COVID. We didn't want them to move around, you know, and keep spreading. So we really took the time to take it to their homes, and that we would do that every single Thursday. We got to the point that there was another mission. We wanted to accomplish something when it came to health, and we took that and asked two churches, friend of ours, if they would pick up that mission. And now it goes from South Boulevard, a little bit past the old Pineville Road, all the way down to Rock Hill, South Carolina. And they're taking food and to people's homes and distributing out every. So beyond the 30 weeks, it's been going out, spreading. And it now leads, I would easily, conservative without, no, I absolutely know it's reached thousands of people. Thousands, okay? So give yourself an applause, because we want to talk a little bit about that. What should we be doing during these times? But I want to read this. Again, Jesus is good news, and the news has been proclaimed since the beginning of time. It's the beginning of time written in this great book. The book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 14 to 15 has this great verse. It says, after John was arrested, so this is what we should be doing. After John was arrested, Jesus went to Galilee and told the good news that comes from God. He said, the time has come. God's kingdom will soon be here. Turn back to God and believe in the good news. You know, throughout the gospel messages of John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, find this to be the common theme. And of course, I'm not here to remind you that beyond those double doors out there, there's really ugly, right? There's a lot of turmoil. There's a lot of bleak days have come and across. But we still, the church has a mission. We have to ask ourselves, where should I be at? Where should I be placed? What should I be doing? Right? Throughout these times, God, what you got. But because you know that we have a great commission. And that's really the church is in existence. And I'm always telling my church, you know, we're still out here. It's great that you guys are visiting and sitting, but we're still out because of these empty seats. That's our mission. That's what we're going for. That's what a great, great song that it says, you know, you leave the 99 to go look for that one. And that one needs to be seated right here, because this is the church is still the hope of the world. I keep telling everybody, the hope of the world lies within these walls. You know, Martin Luther King was a reverend and beyond the mission, but God poured on that. I can't get you to say that you really don't, you hear that I have a dream speech. It doesn't give you goosebumps. So it's amazing. So the church still has a mission. And Matthew 4:23 says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. And again, a testament of what should we be doing? Teaching, telling you, exhorting, motivating, that there's still something that we could do when we go out there. It's a reminder that in Jesus' time, it was also difficult. Didn't stop him from doing his mission. And remember, they were conquered people. They were exploited people. They were subdued people. There was a Roman Empire. They're pretty vicious. And it's hard to compare sometimes. And I sit and I say, well, what other years in life or reading through history? And we've probably grasped, but I try to get close. And I've always used to listen to my dad, and he compared the Cuban Missile Crisis as something that really gave him a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety. You know, that knowing that about 90 miles in Cuba, there was a nuclear weapon, a rocket pointing out towards the edge of Florida, just about 90 miles. And he says he remembers having to do it at his job. They were doing always those rehearsals in case of what would happen if one of those things was launched, you know, going underneath the tables or what kind of. So very, and at the same almost about eras, you know, where the Vietnam War was going on. And I have besides the dad, my other inspiration was my stepdad. And he was telling me, you know, how bleak those days were and how awful that war was. And what a psychological toll it took on young people and people in general. How they came back to a nation that really just wasn't waiting for them in any parade fashion or any thought process behind that. And I couldn't tell you about right also within those time frames and periods as the civil rights movement was taking with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I tell you what, I couldn't imagine having to drink out of a particular water fountain or not permitted to attend a public pool or having to stay in a particular hotel or enter to any particular door or not permitted to sit in a preferable seat on the bus or on a Woolworth counter. So if we've passed through bleak days, dark days, but something always in the Bible always gives us that hope and light that some people are chosen, people rise to the occasion. And God really chooses people, equips people, and sends them out. There's always light. There's always light on someone. I only believe this to be in the blueprint of this book, and lies in that. And I always like to say this. You know, there's 33,000 verses in the Bible, 66 amazing books. And I always, if you could go, if you want to find yourself, you're there. Your story is written in it. And it's to look it up and find that direction. Luke chapter 4, 43 says, but Jesus said, people in other towns must hear the good news about God's kingdom. That's why I was sent. So what's our mission? It's to go out, continue. And I wanted to tell you this. I learned this from, briefly. We were doing a series last year. I know Bill was in it. Pastor Craig knows. We were the intricate kind of when they put it together. It was called The Art of Neighboring. And it really details something about go out, knock on your neighbor's door, find out who they are. Usually it says in the national, this is statistical proven, that within statistics show that in national emergencies and natural disasters, typically the one who knocks on your door is not FEMA. You know, it's not the, but it's your neighbor. Checks up on you, a tree falls down, he wants to cut it down or flood it, and he puts extra sandbags to help you out, you know. And we learned through that piece there was a mission, and they still have it. I think it comes out from a Second Harvest. I think it's part of that group that goes out and takes food to domiciles to people who really can't get to the supermarket. And we started that series, and a church member says that she was really helped her so much. One day she learned that her next-door neighbor, which she'd been knocking the door, had seen her, just glimpse of her, knows she had some sort of impediment that couldn't move easily around, but she would kind of disappear, didn't know exactly what was, and knocked on her door a couple of times, and then actually met her. And through that conversation, said one time, I got these people that come certain days to my house, knock on the door, and they come to deliver food, and I think the actual day was a little bit over a week and a half that I haven't eaten, because I can't get from my bed to the door to open because of my impediment, and they leave. They don't leave it at the door. They have to deliver it to somebody. And that was mind-boggling. It was affected to the person that was actually hearing that. And she says, well, let's do this. That will never happen again. Make sure that they knock on my door, leave the food with me, and I'll make sure that at what time you're ready or one of your relatives, somebody was taking some caregiver, will actually come and pick it up. So that was The Art of Neighbor. It really taught us that something. So we're realizing that in these times, it's really, if not has doubled, that same need that is out there in our communities. And again, surely we have to be extremely cautious, but it definitely shows us something, that we just can't be idle. We just can't, because there's a lot of need out there. There's a lot of people there's extra suffering with all this at hand, and that we really need to reach out to them. We need to stop being spectators, and we need to be participants. And you know, something that really draws to knowledge, right? Jesus believed more in quality than quantity. And the reason I say that is Jesus was laser focused on what he needed to do. His Father gave him a mission. He came to earth and delivered it. And it only took him 33 years, 33 and a half years, 33 years. And then, so that's what realizes that, man, he did it. How do I know that? Because when he got to the cross, he said a word. He says, "It is finished." Everything was finished. And then I was reading Psalms one day that says, you know, the overabundance God, the one that really gives us more than what we need at times. If you read Psalms 90, it says, Psalms 90, this is how, and it tells you how long people, generations should live right about these periods in earth. It says, in the best days, you'll live around 70 years. On your most robust days, you should live around 80. It's written. And I said, wow, God, thank you. Now, how do I know about that overabundance? Because it really says, it really points out that in 33 and a half years that he was here, he gives us twice as much. Because if we live to 70 times 2, that's our God. So we really, what shows me that I really need to, I can't waste time. We can't waste time. People are depending on you. People want that, and I'm testimony to this. I'm not just the preaching. We're about to. It says what makes the gospel different besides being helpful? You know, it's a word of hope. We're still the hope in the church. John 16:33. It says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Isn't that amazing that God really tells us that we're going to pass up some times? It's going to be exactly what we're seeing. But find hope in this. I have conquered that world. So focus in who? Focus in God. Focus in Jesus Christ. Because when the storm, remember Peter, got off the boat, starts walking. As long as he was focused on Jesus, he was walking on water. The minute he realized that the storms and start sinking, then called out for help. That's where we need to be at. This is the good news in the world of bad news. So like I said, I was testing about right about the second week of December. We were all ministry, got my calendar, I'm looking at it. I said, man, we're gonna have a Christmas at home with family. We always cherish, we always look forward to those moments. And I said, New Year's, we're going to have a vigil at church. We were going to make sure we get all together. It's going to be awesome. And I remember Sunday evening, my daughter comes in and says, you know, Dad, I'm not feeling well. I said, you know, the temperature is changing. It's getting a little chilly. And right about past midnight, she even felt a little bit worse. And we're like, oh, was it enough to get her Monday to go get a COVID testing, came out positive. And we definitely hunkered out, quarantine. And my youngest daughter, my son, had moved, lives in Rock Hill. So he was good. And uh, we we went out, the small, because my smallest daughter, we have my wife's mother lives in Mount Holly, and her grandmother, bless her heart, still she's 93 years old. So we had to really, we really thought about them and had to take care of them. So we moved the whole house, my wife. Just about, if that wasn't bad news, she was getting a little bit the progressive, you know, things about the body aches. And then my wife started not feeling well. And it took about just 3 days. She did COVID testing, came out positive. It's another bad news. I was like, wow. And just right, I don't think it landed to about Thursday or Friday. She was doing virtual hospital, came in and said, the paramedics said, man, her oxygen levels is just not there. We're feeling a little bit not good about this. So please, we'll call the doctor, get her a bed in the hospital, take her to CNC Maine. It was transported. She spent 12 days in ICU. In extremely tough, really hard. I couldn't tell you, it was my hardest times. Everybody knows, I know, for the ones at CTK, she's my rock. She's my focus point. We've been 34 years of marriage. We do ministry just so we can stay together. Do ministry together. We do everything together. I always tell them, I don't know if I'm, I think I met a family member, a family that was from Puerto Rico. I always say many years ago when we left, I'm like, I know she's watching, she's not going to like this, but I always tell, you know, Puerto Rico has produced some Miss Universes. They're really good at it. If you put it per capita, they're top five, six nations in the world. So I'm happy that when I left from Puerto Rico, I took mines. And she said, don't do that. So this is recorded. I'll put it back. I won't show her. But so she's been the love of my life. And I tell you what, it was my hardest moments in darkness in my life. Couldn't fathom anything else, you know, my family. Then my brother calls. He says, my wife is not feeling well. He's in Massachusetts. So my wife is not feeling well. She took a test. She's positive. And then a week later, he's not feeling well. He has kidney disease and other, and it was just overwhelming. I couldn't see right. My clarity wasn't right. I think I lost in 2 weeks without going to gym. I really lost weight, really bad. And it took one time, and I says, you know what, God, you're my God. You're the only one I know. Yes. I call you my Savior. And I gave my heart. You chose me. And I need you right now. Yes. I really do. And I really needed to live that. And I have friends and encourage. And they started sending me texts and stay the course, stay strong. She's going to, just rest assured, she's going to be fine. She's going to be fine. And then I listened to a worship song. Somebody sent me, it wasn't even, not a singer, any not famous, different country. It's like, man, stand up and fight. that was the song. Stand up, put the gloves on and fight. It's like, man. And I couldn't really. I was knocked out. I was knocked out before the first round of the first. I was laying like no mas, Robert Duran. It was an air punch, and I was gone. That's how I felt. No win. But I found encouragement. Started reading the book. I says, God, you make 3,465 promises in this book. Just give me one. Just lay down one on me. And we started seeing she was doing, before that, she was the 3 liters, goes to the hospital, 70 liters of oxygen, comes back out to around 3. And she's still recuperating, still on oxygen, but she's at home and doing much better. Yeah. Amen. And I know, like I said, God is going to heal her, and there's going to be powerful testimony that would come out of that. But again, so what are the things that replace these? The good news. So after that one thing after another, we believed in this gospel is good news every day. And what are the things that replace for good news? I like I said, I prayed. I humbled myself to the God Almighty. I found encouragement in the words of friends. And I know that I was in their circle of prayers and interceding for us. I listened to worship and I kept serving. I just kept serving. I had to keep my mind off the things that were just, again, the storms all around me. And I kept serving a community that we do love and it surrounds us and I know it needed us. And then you said, how does Jesus make bad news into good news? How does he? And it just had to write another question after that question. So how did he turn water into wine? Or how did he turn how did he multiply the loaves and fishes to feed thousands? And this is one of my most, the impactful one. How did he hold on to that cross? God revealed something powerful to me. And you know, the Romans were just experts in torture, and they could just lead you to the very edge of death, but not to kill you. They had all the gadgets, and they knew all the ways and forms and fashions to do that. So they pierced these iron nails, Jesus on the cross, on this wood, through his hands and through his feet. And I know that gives us a great visual and blood flowing, extremely painful and help. And I said, God, why? What held you onto that cross? And I realized it, you know what? It wasn't the nails. Because it just briefly after that, if you read the verse, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Romans and the temple guards are gonna come and arrest it. And Peter takes out his sword and he was ready to fight. He said, "Whoa, put that back. If I wanted to, I would reach out to heaven and call upon my Father, and a dozen legions would come out to my rescue." So I said, "So what held them onto that cross? What?" It was just one word. Love. He held on to love for you and me. Because then, you know, he comes out, he said, it's finished. Up to absorb every single sin, everything that absorbed. He was dying at Gethsemane. Some people believe he died. No, he was already getting this filth and this wrath of all the sins of humanity from the past, the present, and he was going to pay for the future. So he held on to love because he easily couldn't got off that cross. Yes. Blink, snap his fingers. Call on to God and he would have been down, but he held on because he loved you and me. Yes. No more powerful message than that. Powerful. So I have to tell you, rest assured, that beyond our human limitations, an almighty, powerful, sovereign God is going to appear over that horizon. Stay focused. Stay engaged. Stay involved. 1 Peter 5, verse 9 through 10 says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And it says, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. That's what. Remember, he conquered the world. And he says, we're going to have trouble. I'm sorry, this is a fallen world. We would hope that sometimes we do put hopes in governments and people and But it's not on him. It's not on them. We could only find it in God who conquered this world. So stay focused, stay engaged. Please. Please. I just tell you to go out there, continue to do his mission. Continue to provide light in a world that's overcoming sometimes with great darkness. We were going to get through this. Promise you. We will. Amen? So I want to lead into a prayer. And I understand that we pray, and I know God probably already poured something specific. Somebody that came to mind. So many things we could be thankful for. So many. I see things this pandemic is really not just this, there's other surely nature, but one thing I was thinking the other day is, man, what? How could we find anything hard to not praise and give thank God for? Even for oxygen. We are given it for free every single day. Every single day. Well, there could be others that are struggling for it right now. So we lift up every person in hospitals, at homes, passing through tough times. And I know if you know of anyone, please lift them up as we pray. Let us pray. Lord, you are our everything. You guide us and steer to us to find direction. In storms, you watch over us and navigate through these stormy seas. You are the harbor where we stop for rest. You are our encourager, and we should not lose hope. You are our lighthouse that keeps our path safe. You are with us always, and we thank you. We love you. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen.
Let's give some love and encouragement to Pastor Frank sharing that message.